I guess I'm only looking at Peter as I'm preaching up here. He's making faces at me already. So, good morning to everyone. I'm glad that everybody could get out in this wonderful weather. I look at it, and I told Julie when I was driving here, it was super slick. I about couldn't get up one hill and get in the church. I was even in the truck. I'm like, oh, we might make it, you know, and stuff. So we're just putting along up this hill and everything. But I also told her, I said, this is dangerous, but it's also such a beautiful creation, man. Just look at this. Like, the ice on the trees and everything was pretty amazing to me and everything. I love looking at stuff like that. So, thank you very much for reading that scripture, Peter and Alex. I appreciate it. But I want to talk a little bit today about our ordinary days. But you're going through your ordinary days, they become extraordinary. So I actually want to ask you guys to sit here. I'm going to be, I'll be quiet for a second here. And I want you guys to actually just think with your own minds. In your ordinary day, if it was a week ago or yesterday or whenever it might be, maybe it was this morning, your ordinary day became extraordinary. Think about when the last time it did, you know, that it might have happened to you. You know, it's like you're sitting there thinking, So as I'm turning here and getting to Luke 5 and everything, I'm going to be quiet. And I just want you guys to think to yourself, when was the last time something your ordinary blah day, you know, it's like, okay, just another day, ordinary, no big deal in your life, but it became extraordinary to you. So, as I'm turning, I'll let you guys just sit there and think about that to your own selves. All right, I'm going to read. I appreciate Peter. He just read the end of the verses of Jesus calling his disciples. But I'm going to go on and read the whole, the first 11 verses, I guess. I mean, not the whole chapter, just 1 through 11 here, but where he calls his disciples. Peter read at the end of that for me and everything. So I'm going to read it all, and you guys just sit here and think about what Peter's done here. In one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him here to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put him a little from land. And as he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, listen to this. We toiled all night, took nothing, but at your word I will let down my nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish. Their nets were breaking, the signal of their patterns and other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats. So they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken, and also were also James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid, from now on you'll be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So in your ordinary day that you're walking and everything, and you're sitting there, you kind of get weary, you're tired, you get frustrated sometimes, you know, you're just sitting there walking around, you're just like, here I go, I got to go to work again. Or, here I go, I got to do this again, I got to go out and whatever it might be, got to go to school again for the kids. Or I got to, oh, mom and dad said I got to, my job is to feed the dogs and cats. I can see Owen White do that every day. So, it's just an ordinary day and everything. But there's sometimes that it turns extraordinary, doesn't it? Have you ever had that? Was it, who was it from? I ask you. Was it from God? Was it from, or you, did you just sit there and go, wow, that was awesome, and then walk away from it? Well, let's take Simon, for instance, as we just read. He was frustrated. He was tired. He was worn out. He worked all night, caught nothing. And then he got this rabbi that comes up to him that doesn't know much about fishing. You know, you look at him like, what? You know, and he go out and put your nets back out. Go out there. And you're like, and you know, if it was me, I'd be like, really? I fished all night. I'm tired. I'm worried. I got nothing. Not a single thing. Do you not understand where I'm coming from? And everything. And what does he do? He's like, yes, Lord, I will do that. And so, but I guarantee you, running through Simon Peter's head, it was like, I don't know if I want to do this. I'm worn out. I'm tired and everything. So he has this rabbi telling a professional fisherman to go out and put his nets back out. So, in other words, you can imagine how frustrated all these fishermen were. They caught nothing. They didn't even have supper that night because they're like, they were hoping that you'd have something to eat after all this, you know? So, the whole thing is when God pursues frustrated people, if you're looking, he convinces you of his great powers that he has. So, they went out once again, and Jesus did something in seconds that these men were trying to do all night long. And what does that make you, not you go, wow, that's a wow moment, is it not? In my opinion, that's a fish story if I ever heard one. You know what I mean? You're like, I caught it this big. No, you got lots of fish. Filled their boats, they're sinking. Their nets are breaking. It's like, wow, that's some good stuff right there. And so, did Peter and all those men around him see the marvelous power of God right then and there. So now I want to turn back. Alex read just a little part to go along with this story to Isaiah. And in Isaiah 6, and I'm going to read 1 through 8. In this year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high, lifted up, and a train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphims. And if you don't know what those are, I looked it up, I thought that's what it was, and Julie's like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm pretty sure. They're high angels. They're angels that are sitting up there, so they're pretty much angels, them seraphims are. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. And with two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundation of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man with unclean lips. I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your guilt has taken away, and your sins are atoned for. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. He said, go and say to the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. So you got here, Isaiah's down, because his king has died. And so Isaiah's down, he's feeling gloom. You know, he's not having, it's just a kind of an ordinary day for him, nothing spectacular going on. And then what happens? Smoke fills the room. Robes of white are trained along. You know, you think of wedding gowns that are strung across when the beautiful brides come walking down an aisle and everything. Well, this is twice as long. This is amazing. And he's sitting there like, he becomes wowed. Isaiah sits there and goes, wow. He says, my king has died, but actually, my king
is alive.
Look at him. You know, you got one this king, Uzziah, absolutely loved him. You know, Isaiah loved Uzziah. Sorry if I said that wrong. But he really loved this king, really looked up to him, thought he was a great man. So he was kind of down in the dumps. He died. He was no more and everything. But then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes smoke filling the room, long robes, white, everything, and the sound of the voice of the good Lord. That was my king, but here is my real king. And everything. So, you get that. He got marveled by power, just like you look at Simon Peter back when he was fishing. So we got two men here. We got two men that are great men that are marveled by God's power. So when we see something like that, what do we do? Do we see His power? Or do we like, that was cool. You know, I'm so glad that happened to me, and then keep walking down this other road that we're, oh, it's just another glum day. That happened, yeah, that was awesome, but here we go again. We're just down the same path. Is that what we're looking at? Or do we follow the fact of what Peter and Isaiah did? What did they do? What is the first thing they do when they saw God's power? They fell to their knees. Like, oh my goodness, look at this. I am amazed. And what do they say? Peter says, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man." Verse 8 of Luke. Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I'm around people with unclean lips." Pretty much, "I'm not worthy, Lord. Help me. I'm not worthy. I know. I see your power. Please help me." So, do I do that? I'm sitting there preaching to myself is what I'm doing, because I've been studying this all week. I had one thing I was going to study over. I listened to Ethan's sermon last week, and it was like, that's awesome, because it's kind of going to line up with my lesson. I told Ethan that after he got done. I said, good job, that'll line up, because those attitudes what I was going to preach over. So Ethan's lesson last week was like, hey, that'll lead in this one. Then I got starting to study and everything, and then I went with this. This is kind of attitudes. I mean, it's where your attitude is. I mean, I'm not saying that, but I'm just like, when you get into this thing and you get wowed by something, because it's like, man, that's amazing. That's what I want to talk about. I mean, so I'm now in a totally different direction when I'm studying throughout the week. So the other thing is, we got, so they fell on their knees, and they said, "I'm a sinful man." And then what happens? They are both called, are they not? Are we all called? What exactly? We are all called here. It's what we're here for and everything. These men were called, and they got excited, did they not? They got excited. You got Isaiah that said, "Please send me. You know, he's down on his knees. I'll go. I want to do your work. I want to be just like you. I want to be this." So, and then you got Peter that's saying, he left everything. Would you guys leave everything to go and do what he wanted? Would you leave everything? I think about it, I'm like, especially fishing, I'm like, ooh, because I love my fishing, you know? So I'm like, my boat, my poles? But they left everything. Think about that. All them guys, they left everything and said, we're following him. Got excited about it. Didn't even think about it twice. I'm gone. Can we do that in our lives? Can we? So, I got a couple challenges for you guys then, for this week. And I would appreciate it. I mean, if you want to, you don't have to. I'm not saying that you would and everything, but if you want to come tell me or talk to each other and everything, and tell each other, but I want you to ask the Lord through this week, the next couple weeks, whatever you want to do, ask the Lord to show you what it is that you value more than Him. So there's things in our life that we value more than Jesus. Because I have them every once in a while. I'm like, And I try to get rid of them. And so I've been asking this week that show me this. So, you know, some people have money that they value more than Jesus. Some people have their spouses they love so much that they value more than Jesus. You know, they have their careers. They want to make it to the top. They want to be the bigwigs, you know, up there that they value more than Jesus. Their prestige, their pleasure. You know, there's all kinds of things. I want to ask you, what will you lay at Jesus' feet this week for Him? I ask you to just go throughout the week and see what you would lay at His feet and do away with that. And on that time, whatever it might be, you kids, video games, television, I mean, whatever our pleasures are, you know, lay that at His feet and give more time to Him. And find His glory. Open your eyes to see the power that is involved in the good Lord. And would you leave that behind to follow Jesus? I ask you, would you leave that behind to follow Jesus? Everybody knows that I was at a year ago, and I struggled there for a while I know there's people out here that know about it, I guess I should say, that I struggled with work for a while. And I was at a job that was not good for me. First, the people that I was around was very bad, and I found out that I wasn't a lumber salesman. I found out that was not for me. I did not like lumber salesmen. If I'm going to read blueprints, I'd rather read it and build them instead of sit at a desk and read them and say, here, this is what you need to build it for. I want to be the man that builds it and everything. So I was struggling with that. I left another job to go to this job. Thought it was better. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is going to be fantastic. And I struggled with it. And I was just like, had no idea. And I was like, what is going on here? I thought this is where God was calling me. I'm close to home. This is what I thought it was all about and everything. And then out of nowhere, a year later, I am at a place where God thrives in me and helps me thrive. Is there still things that I'm struggling with through jobs and stuff like that? It's a job. I'm not fishing every day, okay? That's what I like to do. I'm not hunting, you know? It's a job. But I get to pronounce the good Lord's name wherever I go, and it's so much better. That was a wow moment for me, because the year I took the job that I didn't like, I was down at the lake. A year later, I was down at the lake, I get a text saying this job wanted me. I was down at the lake in the same spot, same campground, because when we go camping, Wyatt likes to have this same campground. And then so if I look at that, I'm like, wow, that's cool. You know, I mean, like, is that not a God thing saying, now what, did I take that lesson of that job that I had? There was a lesson involved in all that, guys. There was a lesson. I mean, we talked about it in Mark's class a little bit this morning and everything. The lessons, do we learn from our trials? What do we do? So the Lord doesn't always bring frustration to an end after a day, a month, a year, 2 years, whatever it might be. But if something in your life, But if there's something in your life that you wish wasn't there, has caused you great frustration, I'm going to guarantee you one thing, guys. I will guarantee you this. That frustration that's bothering you in your life, in your ordinary day that you're having, God, the Lord is pursuing you in order to show you four things. I'm going to give you four things, and the lessons will be yours. The first thing I've talked about majorly is the power of the Lord, is what He's showing you. The great power of the Lord. The second one, how great is your need of His pardon? The third one, how vital it is to adopt His purpose. And the fourth one, and how vital is it to value Him above all things? I mean, That's what he wants. That's what he wants for you, is to leave everything, drop what you have, and to show, he'll show you his power so you can show it to the other people out in the world. Because he's there for you guys. He is there for you no matter what you need. So if there's anyone here that wants to come closer to the power of the Lord, it needs prayers. There's men in this congregation that love to pray with you, and I will. Elders are here, and we're such a loving congregation. So don't be afraid to come forward and show the love, to feel the love of this congregation. If there's any need that you might have, I ask you to come forward as Ethan comes and stands and sings.